The COVID crisis has upended holiday traditions and gift giving. We're discussing how to show someone we care, how to approach presents in a global pandemic. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. This holiday season is painful. You may be experiencing the horrible loss of a loved one, the loss of your livelihood, the loss of holding and hugging a family member. What will gifting be like for your family? How are you doing this when gathering isn't possible? Are you trying a new way to save but still give a present? It's 800-642-1234 to join in. Elizabeth Willard-Thames is creator of the personal finance blog FrugalWoods.com, author of Meet the Frugal Woods. Elizabeth, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hi, Kate. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I would reckon you are spending a lot more time in the kitchen this month making gifts. What are you creating?
So a lot of the cooking actually falls to my husband, thankfully. But we are definitely having at-home holidays this year. We did Thanksgiving just with my husband and children and my daughter's birthday. And then we will do Christmas the same way. So a lot of it is focused on what we can make ourselves. And it really comes back to those basic frugal tenets of cooking from scratch. So if you like to cook from scratch, that's good news. If like me, it's maybe not your favorite thing, find ways to make the things that you love. So we did not do a turkey for Thanksgiving because we don't really love turkey. So we recreated a Thanksgiving feast and then a birthday party for my daughter. And we'll do the same thing for Christmas. It's, you know, it can be a little bit liberating when you're not hosting. You can decide what you eat. And so we've had some fun with doing that and with using our stocked pantry. So I did make pie crusts from scratch.
Here, I thought you'd be making your amazing pickles.
Oh, you know, the pickles. Here's the thing. I gave so many people pickles that they're done with receiving pickles from me. So there, you know, there can be a backlash if you do all homemade food. My mom actually sent me an email that said, please don't send me any more pickles, which
well,
I appreciate.
You know, pickles are, the glass is heavy. It's unkind to ship with the price because, and then it breaks and there's pickle juice. So maybe she's onto something.
Yes, all of that has happened. So I'm now shipping people wine. I actually am a little bit moving away from the homemade. So here on our homestead, we make our own maple syrup. We make a lot of our own preserved vegetables. But my family has said, please, please stop sending us your preserved vegetables. So I have heard them. You've been heard, family. And I am actually sending wine. And the reason for this is that I discovered if you have it shipped directly from the seller, a lot of times that is much less expensive than shipping it yourself. So here I was packaging up these boxes laboriously, taking them to the post office, and I was often ending up spending more money on the shipping than on any of the actual gifts. So this wine thing, I am all on board because you can order it and have it shipped, and there is so much efficiency with scale. So the more people I send it to, the less expensive it is for me. So this is kind of my pandemic solution, because then I don't have to go into a store. I don't have to go into the post office, and I'm able to send something to people that I know they're going to enjoy. And you can insert any other product, you know, you can send fresh fruit, chocolates. My family happens to love wine, so that makes it easy for me. But I am very into consumables, especially this year when everybody's home, and it's lovely to have this sort of surprise come in the mail.
Yeah. Elizabeth Willard-Thames is the creator of Frugal Woods. We're learning how to avoid financial stress, get creative, frugal this holiday season, getting your ideas as well. Are you making gifts this year? Maybe your family has said, no, too much canning. Or are you giving your time or an experience to family and friends? Join in. What are you thinking on the gift scene? 800-642-1234. Elizabeth, you know, so many households have had layoffs or really deep furloughs. In what ways can we totally rethink gifts this year?
I think it's important to communicate with your family. So much as my mom told me, please no more of the pickles, your family knows what's going on. Your friends know what's going on. If you have lost a job, if your partner has lost their job, your family knows this or should know this. And I think being open and honest is really the best way to go. So I have a number of friends who have lost their jobs, and I've asked them, you know, what do you need from me? And I think that's one of the best ways that we can go about this, is checking in with people, asking the question, would it be easier for you this year, or would you prefer this year if we didn't give gifts, if we just set aside time to do a special Zoom conversation, or if we only did gifts for the kids and not for the adults? I think a lot of times we can feel so isolated in our financial struggles. We feel like we are the only people who are struggling to meet the full Christmas list this year, or we are the only people who cannot envision how we're going to, you know, create a Hanukkah for our family. And that's usually not the case. Oftentimes, other people are deeply relieved to either know how they can help you or to know that they don't have to get you a gift.
Yeah.
A number of years ago, my sister and I decided, you know what, we're just going to give gifts to the kids, to the nieces and nephews. We don't need to give to each other. We don't need to give to our spouses. And that eliminated so much stress.
Yeah.
Because in addition to reducing the expenditures, it's a lot of stress to feel like you need to provide a gift for everyone. So I would say just talk to the people you're closest to.
Okay, spouse gifts. I know you're not going there, but how does that work when, you know, your spouse, your partner, you're not exchanging a gift?
My husband and I stopped giving each other gifts probably a decade ago. And what I will tell you is that you really want to make sure and talk to your partner about this ahead of time. So do not show up on Christmas morning and say, oh, well, I didn't get you a gift. You know, it's a conversation you want to have ahead of time. And again, you know, you and your partner should both be aware of the family's financial situation, right? So if this is going to be a year where you cannot do gifts, talk about it and think about ways that you can make it special instead. So one of the really small things that my husband and I have been doing during the pandemic is sitting down every evening after the kids go to bed and having a date time. It's a half an hour, but it's a specified time where we just sit down and talk, and we usually share some sort of drink, you know, share some wine or some beer, and we do tasting notes, which sounds super nerdy, but it gives us...
Yeah, this, you know, is so good.
It's a hobby. It's something
sure.
to do. I think the more that you can focus on that person, that partner, what they really need, and oftentimes it's not going to be a gift. And that it's difficult. It's much easier to just buy them pajamas and be like, okay, I'm done. So I think thinking about the ways that you can enhance each other's lives during this difficult time. And it can be a very small thing. And it probably will be a small thing because we can't really go anywhere right
yeah.
now.
I wonder if you'll take that half hour after the pandemic.
I think so. It's really become an important part of our day. So much so that our kids now will say, are you having date night? Is it date night? And my oldest says, well, I want to come to date night. And I say, well, the point of date night is that you're not there. But she was a little offended at that. But it's, you know, it's really this question of carving out that time every day and saying, you matter enough to me to sit down and spend this time together when there are, you know, truly a million other things that I could be doing.
We have personal finance and frugal living expert Elizabeth Willard-Thames as our guide to saving the money we can, providing for others in a time of really difficult times. Have you found ways to send gifts or holiday wishes? Are you making gifts this year? What are you making? Or are you giving your time in another way to a loved one? Join in at 800-642-1234. Back in a moment. We're learning how to pinch pennies before we get into full-on gift-giving mode. It's been such a difficult year. Friends and family will understand, but you still want to express how much you care, how much you love them from afar. How do you do 2020 holidays? conversation is here, 800-642-1234. Elizabeth Willard Thames is founder of Frugal Woods, and she's our guide to saving in a month where spending can be so intense. Let's bring in Barb now, who's joining us from Green Bay. Hi, Barb. How are you doing holiday gifts?
Well, I did something for Thanksgiving. I have five grandsons aging 4 to age 10, and I sent them a Thanksgiving card, and inside I put a poem I had written for each of them, just kind of remembering fun things we had done together and things that I thought were special about them. And then we read them. Either they read them or their parents did. We did a Zoom call with the whole family. And amazingly, for their ages, I think they actually appreciated them very much.
Oh, that is lovely. So you wrote these individual poems for each grandchild?
Yes.
Have you done that before?
No, I never had. But, I didn't tell the person, but this year I've gone through cancer treatment. I have stage 3, and I wanted to leave them something, and I told them, you know, that this is something I said, make sure mom and dad keep this, because when you're older, I want you to look back and see what Nana thought was special about you when you were this age.
Oh, Barb. So, oh, that's so beautiful. Elizabeth, what do you think of that?
Oh, I think that's just such a wonderful thing to do. And, you know, I'm sorry that it's coming from such a place of pain, but Barb, I just think that's fantastic. And I think it's something, you're right, that they're only going to value more as they age. And that's a true lasting gift from the heart.
It is. And, you know, I have in the past and framed a very special card that had some special writing inside. And that too might be a way to preserve some very special words and, you know, not tuck it away, but be able to see it every day.
Definitely. My parents have been married for 52 years, and my dad writes these little poems and notes to my mom, and she has them framed all over the house. And I just think, you know, what a lovely thing. And it's funny because a lot of them are written on sort of like scratch paper, but it's, you know, it's this wonderful testament to their love over these many decades.
You know, parents can often feel that pressure. I know I do, to make sure holidays are really happy and memorable for the kids. How can we do this without going overboard, without really breaking our budget?
So parents are the architects of their children's expectations. Your kids are not born knowing what Christmas is or what Hanukkah is. You know, we create these traditions and these expectations for our children. And so if you have young kids, hooray, this is great, because you can set the tone this year and for every year going forward of, you know, what a holiday is and what it's really about. So we've done this. My children are young. They're 5 and 2.5. And since the beginning of their lives, we have really focused on the family element of each holiday. So the togetherness, the food, the games that we play, the hikes that we go on together, the gifts are there, but it's kind of a secondary element to all of the festivities that we do as a family. And for children, particularly for children under, I don't know, about age 10, used and secondhand gifts. And do not blanch when I say this. Mm-hmm. Kids do not know the difference. Santa Claus does not do tags, okay? The man is making this stuff. There's no tags on the gifts, I'm telling you right now. So everything that my children have received has come either as a hand-me-down from friends or family, or I've gotten it at a garage sale. I am a huge fan of the garage sale, the yard sale, the thrift store, the side of the road. A lot of times we can find really high quality stuff at yard sales for pennies.
Yeah.
And I take those things. I usually do my garage sailing over the summer, so this may be a little bit of a plan for next year. I take those things, I put them in the basement, and then I sort of categorize them for which child I think it'll be best for and which season. And sometimes I have too much, and so I'll give it to my friends. I'll say, you know, do you want this for your son for his birthday? And we'll kind of swap around some of the used treasures that we've found.
Oh, the swaps are so great too. And it's really, that's also a really great way for the environment and making sure that we're just not so much into the buying it brand new.
Absolutely. You are saving not only your own money, but you are saving this tremendous environmental cost of, you know, the production, the shipping, the creation, the plastic, the tags. Like I said, the tags. There's no tags from Santa. Start this rumor now, please. I also, my poor children, I also reuse bags every year for the wrapping so that I don't have to use wrapping paper. Again, it's expensive, it's bad for the environment, and it takes so much time. I cannot believe how much time it takes me to wrap a box. So I just throw everything into reusable bags. And my kids think that's great because the littlest one can just open up the bag and see what's inside. So it's kind of this holistic idea of like, okay, how can I save money? How can I save time and still make this just a treasured and fun experience?
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Elizabeth Willard Thames. She writes a personal finance blog, and as we're in this recession, millions of people unemployed, we're discussing how to manage the holiday expenses, how to manage gift-giving expectations, and finding out what you're doing for loved ones at 800-642-1234. Elizabeth, kids have a lot of helpers in their lives, the teachers, the coaches, the faith leaders. What types of inexpensive gifts are good for these people in our lives, for the kids, and also in this time when, you know, we're still virtual here, and this means that we'll be needing to ship things or send them by email, maybe?
I polled my readers, many of whom turn out to be teachers, a number of years ago, on what teachers and coaches would like to receive. And a lot of them said that they treasure notes, either from parents of young children or from the child themselves, that talks about how their class or their team has made a difference to the kids. So this goes back to Barb's idea of putting into words what this person means to you. The other thing that I heard from a lot of teachers is that cash is very, very helpful. And so I've usually done cash for my kids' teachers because it gives them the opportunity to use that money however they'd like. You know, it doesn't assume what they need. It says, you know what? You're a wonderful presence in my children's lives. Please take yourself out to lunch. Do something enjoyable for yourself. And then, of course, there are the fantastic homemade gifts from kids. So my kids are on an ornament kick this year. So we've made, I don't know, 30 ornaments. I don't know that anyone wants to receive them, but it is starting to build this idea of making things for other people. And I think you can include even very young children into this idea of creating things that you then give away.
Oh, and they so much want to give something that they have created for their teacher. And because that teacher is so special in their lives, I really feel like even in the pandemic, the bonds with teachers is just incredible.
So true. And I think there are so many ways for us to demonstrate that respect and that love for teachers. And like I said, it might just be the parent writing a really thoughtful email. Yeah. You know, think about how you feel when you receive this note from someone that says, you know, you make a real difference in my life. That's going to mean a lot more than a mug or a box of cookies.
Sure. So speaking of cookies, how are you dealing with the cost of baking? Because that can get really expensive.
It can. In the pandemic, you know, I'm not sort of making all the food that I usually make to give away, just because I know people have differing levels of comfort with, you know, food that someone else has prepared.
Yeah.
For me, it usually comes back to that bulk ingredients, bulk and raw. So, you know, you're starting from scratch. So you're not getting the cookies in a tube. You're getting flour and sugar and you are putting it together yourself. It's usually going to cost a lot less if you're taking it from its simplest ingredient form. So just think to yourself, okay, how processed is this, right? Mm-hmm. And if it's, you know, pre-made cookies, that's going to be the most processed. And then the middle ground are the cookies in a, you know, that you roll out. And then the cheapest is going to be the raw ingredients.
Elizabeth Willard-Thames is founder of Frugal Woods. You can join in. What questions do you have about making a holiday feel joyful when it's nowhere near a joyful time? Does shopping for others make you feel good? Are you worried about overspending during the holidays? Share your situation, what you see ahead, 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up after a news update on the Ideas Network. We're talking about how to give gifts that are meaningful and appropriate in these uncertain times. Holiday shoppers on Cyber Monday spent $10.8 billion, setting a record for the largest internet shopping day in our country. That's Adobe Analytics tracking consumer data. How are you approaching gifts? Are you making them? Do you have time? What's your approach to holiday 2020? Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. Personal finance expert Elizabeth Willard-Thames stays with us. So, Elizabeth, I haven't bought new holiday decorations in years. Many of mine are handed down in my family or they're handmade. And I bought new garland on Cyber Monday for my staircase and never, you know, had garland before. 9 feet, I was like, I'll try it out. And I was shocked by the sticker price. My garland cost $40. I could have paid upwards, they were lists of $140 for some garland. Decorations are pricey. Lights are pricey. Do you have any tips on decorating?
First of all, congrats on joining Club Garland. I am a big fan of the garlands. I, like you, most of my stuff is probably about as old as my marriage. So it's about 12 years old. We bought fake stuff, you know, which is kind of weird to say because I live in the middle of the woods. Mm. But for us, the environmental impact and also just the ease of reusing every year. So we have a tree that is 10 years old and it was a pre-lit tree, you know, so it had the lights already on it. Let me tell you, those lights burned out. So what we did is bought new LED lights and just strung those on top of the pre-lits. So the tree is still perfectly fine. You know, so a lot of these decorations, if they're kind of aging out of their original like light source, do not worry. You can just buy new, inexpensive, efficient bulbs and just string it right on top. Nobody will know the difference. So I am a big fan of, you know, kind of buying it once and reusing it. Speaking of lights, there are a lot of these now energy efficient light options, and they have the warmer LEDs. So it's not going to be that like glaring sort of blue light that it was a number of years ago. I had to give away some of those, but so you can get LED lights that are going to last for a long time. And I'm such a fan of light this year. So using those strings of light, you can do a lot. You don't necessarily need, you know, to do the full garland if the garland is not in your budget. I think hand-me-downs are fantastic. Garage sales, thrift stores, that is my jam. And so many people, when they downsize, get rid of all their Christmas decorations. And I have found just fantastic things at sales that we now use and treasure every year. The other thing goes back to communicating with your friends and family. You know, people are aware of how difficult this year is. And I have a good friend who is celebrating Christmas at their house for the first time this year. They can't travel. And she realized she doesn't have stockings for herself and her children. And so she sort of sent out a text to her friends, does anybody have stockings? And everybody came together and said, oh, we have fabric, we have ribbons, we can, you know, we'll get this set up for you. Mm. So I think being transparent with folks is really helpful because this is a new and uncharted holiday for many people. And, you know, Christmas, I don't know, should I call myself a decorations hoarder? Maybe someone like me probably has excess decorations, you know, that they're happy to share. And I think it's also looking at what's going to be most meaningful. You know, if you want to focus on just the tree, or if you want to focus on just the manger scene, or whatever it is that's going to matter the most. And again, feeling like you can create something that's festive and that sets a wonderful tone without spending tons of money.
Let's bring in Charlotte, who is joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Charlotte. What are you thinking on the gift front? Hi.
Hi. I have two things now. I just want to say our family, that we're all getting together and taking cell phone pictures and sending them out. We're having a competition with how we decorate for Christmas this year. So we have some in Arizona. We have some in Green Bay. We have, you know, some in D.C. So we're going to put our pictures together and have a competition. Well, some of us are doing it already. I haven't started. But the second thing is I was telling my coworker, she's buying gift cards for Uber for her kids in college. So I thought that was a smart gift, too.
Oh, that's really practical. Sure. Yeah. I have to learn more about this cell phone picture contest. We need some more details.
Kate wants to get in on it with her new garland.
I know.
No. You know what? It's so awesome. It's so awesome.
Well, like, where do you take your pictures and how do you win this thing? Like, you know, I'm competitive, Charlotte. How do I win?
I have so many relatives. But we're all on a thread or whatever, and they're all sending their pictures in. I haven't had time to do anything. I just have one reef up. That's it. But I had sent a fake picture in, and they started laughing. I'm going to get it together. But, oh, my gosh, my sister's in Arizona, and she's already looking like Christmas.
Well, Arizona, I mean, the weather. They've got weather on their side. That's a clear advantage.
You're probably right, yes. So yes. So we're going to, I don't know if we're going to have a prize or whatever. We do diet competitions. We do, this is our first Christmas competition. So we do games online, you know, not online, but over the phone. So
yeah
we're kind of getting in the groove of the using the phone instead of visiting each other.
Yeah, I love that, too, that you're learning as you go as to what works and what, you know, kind of getting a little bit better at how games do on, you know, when you're video conferencing and all.
I don't want to tell you guys something we really do funny. We do Jeopardy. We always, like, begin a sentence.
Mm-hmm.
How he does, and it's funny. We want to say something, so...
I love it. Charlotte, thank you so much, and
you're
all
welcome.
The best to you during the holidays. Thanks.
I hope I win.
Yeah, for sure. Get those pictures going. Elizabeth, you know, a contest with the family is so fun, and it really can kind of get people working and working together.
Absolutely. I just texted my mom saying it's on. So I think this is such a great idea. It's frugal, it's festive, it's pandemic safe. Charlotte, I think that's just such a great example of using what we have. You know, we have technology, we have distance, maybe we have some decorations. I love the idea of sending like a joke picture, you know, of one of those like perfectly decorated houses. So I think we could have a lot of fun with ideas like that.
We're talking with Elizabeth Willard-Thames, creator of the personal finance blog frugalwoods.com. We're learning about how to give gifts in 2020, what that's like, and how to make sure our budgets stay intact in December. You can join in with what you're thinking, how you're reaching out to family and friends from afar. 800-642-1234. So, Elizabeth, you know, we often have those large holiday feasts and Thanksgiving. We just try to do that, but certainly much smaller. But still, there are the costs of the holiday meal. When you are grocery shopping, how for a large meal, what can you think about in order to keep that grocery bill down?
I think considering, first of all, the menu and how much you really need to make. So we only have four people in our house. So it's four people for each holiday, which is less food, but it's also a focus on foods we can make that we can then freeze. So I think if you can, you know, translate this into lots of future meals, you can sort of see those savings accrue over time. So it's maybe not necessarily all going to be eaten, you know, on that holiday, but if it can be translated into these you know, future frugal takeout, which is when you take frozen food out of your freezer. That is ideal. And, you know, it may also be a question of thinking, okay, you know, meat is probably the most expensive element of the meal. So can we make that a side dish, or can we make that less of the focus and maybe have something less expensive? Maybe, you know, something that's more bread-based or has more vegetables in it to kind of reduce some of those expenses. There's also the question of shopping locally. So I live very rurally, so I have a lot of neighbors who produce food. And so focusing on buying my eggs, my cheese, my meat from them is supporting my local community, and it's also going to cost less. I think there's also this added layer of safety in the pandemic. And so you may be ordering groceries and that may cost more, but that trade-off might be very much worth it to you to not need to go into a store. So I think giving yourself some grace there, that this is an unusual year, you may not be able to do things in the way that you've done them in the past.
Yeah. And there was this one psychologist I was listening to and said, you know, go ahead and have that extra sliver of pie or that extra cookie. This has been a really rough year. And if you can just carve out a little something extra special for yourself, maybe that could help you get through this time.
Absolutely. You know, it's kind of a dark winter, and hence me and all my LED Christmas lights right now. And so I think you're right. I think the ways that we can find joy and really find something to look forward to, I find that to be tremendously helpful, even if it's a daily, a weekly, if it's an advent calendar practice, if it's taking a walk by yourself, whatever it is, if there's kind of that sliver of joy that you can look forward to, maybe it's, you know, besting your family in the decoration competition.
Elizabeth Willard-Thames, creator of the personal finance blog Frugal Woods, author of the book Meet the Frugal Woods. We're learning how to be thrifty, economical, authentic in this time, holiday gift-giving time. What has budgeting taught you in these times? What is your budget for gifts? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Elizabeth Willard-Thames here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with the founder of Frugal Woods, Elizabeth Willard-Thames. We're learning how to stretch money this season as far as it will go, exploring homemade gift ideas that are thoughtful, easy, and inexpensive. Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Elizabeth, you know, the end of the year is often when people give to charities and nonprofits and organizations that they value. We're in really tight times. Can you still be philanthropic?
You know, philanthropy takes many forms. And I've been really inspired during this pandemic by how willing and ready people are to give of their time and of their stuff. So I think beyond just giving money, we can really look around at our community and get a sense for what's needed. So recently, our local elementary school did a drive for children's winter clothing because the kids are outside almost every day for as much of the day as possible. And much like Wisconsin, Vermont is very cold. And so they said, you know, if you have old snowsuits, snow boots, hats, please go through your closets and donate them. And so that was a way for most people in the community to find the stuff that their kids had outgrown and then to share and swap and, you know, make sure that everybody had warm clothing. Another thing that we've done in my town is a weekly food shelf. It's, you know, we're in a very small town. We didn't have a food pantry and now we do. And, you know, what that really takes is a couple people saying, I have the time to organize this. You know, that you can be the person who organizes it. You don't have to be the person who provides all the food or provides all the money, that there are so many different interlocking ways that we can help each other. So maybe you can donate the bag of rice, or maybe you can just organize the email chain to let people know that it's happening.
Yeah, your time is as valuable as money, maybe even more so, your talent.
Absolutely. So there are so many ways that charities need our help this season. It can be stuffing envelopes, addressing them, putting stamps on. I was doing that recently. I was like, now this is at my skill level. I can put a letter in an envelope. So, you know, there are so many ways that we can be helpful. And I often look to the smaller charities because oftentimes a larger charity has professional staff. They have a system in place, but you know, the really small nonprofits that are doing the hyper local work, they don't have somebody to stuff envelopes. You know, it's going to be the executive director on the weekend doing it. And so if you can find these places and say, you know, I have some time, what can I do for you? And a lot of times you can do it from home. You can do it in a socially distant way.
I'm wondering, Elizabeth, you know, this year looking so different, do you think some of these changes will stick in our traditions, in how we are looking differently at the holiday season?
I think it probably depends. You know, my hope is that we can take away from this time a greater focus on what's most important to us, and that we can use this opportunity to sort of strip away some of the unnecessary activities or expenses or expectations that we've levied on ourselves. I also think a lot of us will be, you know, so excited to get back to being in person with our families. But it certainly has forced my family to be much more creative with how we communicate with grandparents and with the rest of our family. We just did a Zoom birthday party for a 5-year-old, which I can tell you I don't necessarily recommend, but she didn't love it. It was great though for my family and my in-laws to all be together. And, you know, we live all across the country, so that's not a scenario that would happen in person. So I think, you know, taking the best of what's happening is sort of optimistic and wonderful. I also think it's fine to say, you know what, this is a pretty awful year. And so let's do the best we can and focus on the fact that hopefully, you know, next year we can have that sense of normalcy and hopefully appreciate it all the more. I will never complain about airline travel again, I promise.
Well, Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining us, and all the best to you this season.
Thank you.
Elizabeth Willard-Thames is creator of the personal finance blog frugalwoods.com, author of the book Meet the Frugal Woods: Achieving Financial Independence Through Simple Living. And now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a dive into the Wisconsin song.
I recently received a question from a listener, Antoinette. She asked, why doesn't Wisconsin have a song? There isn't a single song that I hear and think, good old Wisconsin. This question got my head spinning. Is there a song that represents or unifies our state's diverse music fans? Probably not. But I decided to turn this question to some Wisconsin music journalists and hosts and find out what they thought is the Wisconsin song.
I'm going to open my program tonight with a little number that's quite a favorite with all my friends back in my hometown, Milwaukee.
I'm Allison Geyer, staff writer for Isthmus Newspaper. My choice is the song Beer Barrel Polka. It's played all over the state at sporting events and weddings and Oktoberfest celebrations. Probably the most Wisconsin version of all is performed by Liberace. His version is a weird, charming mix of Wisconsin's most iconic cultural contributions.
I'm Tom Giffey with Volume 1 magazine in Eau Claire, and the song that comes to my mind is Wisconsin, recorded by Glenn Yarborough.
There's the town.
You may remember it as the theme to North Country Notebook, a WPR show from about 30 years ago. I can't hear it without thinking of my public radio listening father and the Wisconsin that we both knew.
And I wanted you to see the old Wisconsin that I knew.
Hi, this is Christopher Paulus. A song that makes me think of Wisconsin? It's an intertribal song. An intertribal song is played at powwows, and it's an invitation for everybody to dance. And what makes me think of Wisconsin? Powwow time and intertribal songs. This one is by The Tribe, a group made up of many Native nations from across Indian country.
Yeah. Hello, I'm Justin Barney. I'm the music director at 88.9 Radio Milwaukee. I think the artist is our very own Justin Vernon, a.k.a. Boney Baker. It sounds like a cabin in up north Wisconsin. So I know that it's going to create a little bit of controversy because he's relatively new. And the song itself doesn't say Wisconsin in it or talk about the state directly. But I think Skinny Love by Bon Iver encapsulates the feeling of being in and being from Wisconsin. And I'm told you to be patient,
and I'm told you to be fine. Opinions aside, Wisconsin actually has an official state song. On Wisconsin, plunge right through that line. On Wisconsin was written by Carl Beck and William Purdy in 1909.
Purdy was a musician, and he found out that the University of Minnesota was having a contest for a new football song for there. And so he wrote the song for Minnesota originally.
That's David Null, the former director of University Archives.
So instead of On Wisconsin, it would be Minnesota, Minnesota. But Beck convinced him to, instead of submitting it for the contest of Minnesota, to give it to or use it at the University of Wisconsin.
Those lyrics were heavy on the football lingo, and it's still used today at UW games to pep up the fans. But in 1959, the Wisconsin State Legislature declared On Wisconsin the official state song. This version has more, shall we say, dignified lyrics. We, thy loyal sons and daughters,
hail thee good and great. Or people say, oh, On Wisconsin is the state song, but I expect if you ask lots of people to do the actual official lyrics of the official state version, they wouldn't get very far.
This story came from an audience question as part of the Wisconsin Project. Submit your question, and we might answer it in a future Wisconsin Life segment. Go to WPR.org/Wisconsin. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent, host of The Morning Show. I just want to give a shout-out to listener support. It's the largest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. It's our year-end drive. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you. You're part of the Ideas Network.